Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Rich Tile. Rich Tile helps businesses increase revenue by connecting leadership's goals to the day-to-day work of technology teams. He has dedicated his work at the Noble Foundry to helping businesses adopt more empowering and collaborative ways of working. Prior to starting the Noble Foundry, Rich spent 12 years as CIO for a large, scrappy, and aggressive nonprofit in Cincinnati. Additionally, Rich spent 7 years at Procter & Gamble in information technology. Well, good afternoon, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Rich, this is great to talk to you today. You're another colleague that served in that chief information officer space, and you got a great background. I want to talk about that a little bit. You've got, a strong, fruitful background in technology as a CIO. Now you're the CEO of your own company. Could you share with our audience a secret to your career growth?
Yeah, sure. It's an interesting question. About, what is it, maybe 15, maybe even 20 years ago, I worked at Procter & Gamble. And when I was working there, I encountered a couple of situations, or at least one that I want to tell you about, that sort of has been this question that I've been trying to answer for the past 15 or 20 years. And it basically came down to a conversation between me and a marketing director, where the marketing director said, it was a demand. I want this project delivered on this timing with this scope. And I thought, well, shoot, I don't know why that's okay. Like, that's a really big ask, and I can't possibly do what he's asking. It was a frustrating situation because there was something missing between the leadership and what they were asking for and the team that was actually doing the implementation. And because of that, we did our best. We actually didn't make the date on that particular body of work, whatever it was. And it was, you know, we all sort of left ourselves in a situation that was like frustrating for everybody. It wasn't just me. It was the marketing director, myself, my team, the people around me. And I thought there has to be a better way. There has to be a way that we can think about this work differently, that we can think about working together differently, that doesn't leave all of us frustrated. So I've spent a large part of my career trying to answer that question. And one of the places where I've found significant answers is in the agile space. So if you want to describe it as a secret to my career growth, it's been the unending desire to answer that question fully and say, how can we create work environments? How can we create relationships? How can we create processes for managing work that lets people thrive, that lets people grow, that lets people develop, and also lets people produce really good products? Because I firmly believe that if you're in a place where you're thriving and you're growing and you're developing and you personally love your work, you're going to produce good results. People produce good results when they live in that place, when they're staying in that place sort of on their own. And so that's probably the biggest thing for me. I mean, I don't think about that every day, but like that question about how do we create those teams and those environments is the thing that propels me forward. So I'm always trying to answer that big question in one way or another for one organization or for another one. It's a really compelling and important question, I think, because as humans and as people, we want to be valued individually. We also want to be part of a team, and those things aren't in conflict. There's something to be played in concert, I think, as you think about the way that work gets done. So I think that's it. It's an effort to answer that question and to continue to pursue it to its end, which it's a bottomless question. You won't ever answer it all the way, but it's worth pursuing for those reasons.
Sure. No, I appreciate that, Rich. That was a great answer. And I love to hear people's stories and how they've found ways to overcome challenges or contribute back to, you know, organizations from their learning experiences. So thank you for sharing. So Rich, as you know, everybody globally has had to make some major shifts due to this pandemic, the new normal. Could you share with us what you're doing to adjust and stay relevant in this economy?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question because the assumption is that the new normal is somehow not as good. And I don't mean to say that COVID is good. I want to be careful to avoid anything that sounds like that. What I mean to say is the new normal has actually opened doors that were previously more difficult to open. An example, everybody in the world is now comfortable on a video call. Because everybody in the world is now comfortable on a video call, making connections with people, building relationships with people, significantly easier than it has been. So the shifts to the new normal have been largely easier, I think, than it would have been to stay in the old normal. In other words, audience sizes got bigger. The number of people that we can serve with our business got bigger. The ways that people are working got more broad. And so it really opened a lot of doors when it happened. And I forget what the stat is. I think I saw something a couple weeks ago that said something like 88% of people will want to work from home after COVID is over. Regardless of what those numbers are, we all have learned something about working from home and the opportunities that it creates within our families, as well as within business context. The things that I'm doing, I like most, learning and mastering the art of the Zoom meeting. A lot of that has to do with bringing the fullness of your personality and maybe like expressing that a little more strongly and sort of being you have to be intentional about how you show up to a conversation. So I'll go into a meeting here in another 45 minutes. And when I go into that meeting, I'm bringing my A game, like every time. It's not that you didn't bring your A game before, but it's easy to walk into a room in a meeting and be like, okay, I'm here. But you can't do that online. You have to bring the fullness of who you are. And I think that's one way to stay relevant sort of in the moment. And in the macro, I think relevancy just increased broadly because of the audience increase. So where we're at in terms of the new normal, I'm sure there are other aspects of that to think about. Appreciate further questions, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. It's amazing what we've learned because of the way we've been kind of forced to change, innovate. You know, I've talked to a lot of colleagues of ours, Rich, and, you know, a lot of them say, you know, we just advanced innovation by 3 years in the last 6 months. And yeah. I truly believe that. And things that we thought were impossible or were going to take 3 years, we got done in 30 days. So I love your perspective on that. So Rich, are you leveraging, this is a kind of a cool thing that I like to ask, are you leveraging any newer emerging technologies, maybe a tool or an app within your company that you want to share with our audience?
Yeah. So a lot of the work that I do involves real high-tech stuff like Post-it notes and Sharpies. And when you go online, that creates all sorts of problems and challenges that you've got to figure out how to overcome. So my favorite tool at the moment for replacing those, and it's not quite the same as Post-its, but man, it's close. It's got advantages and disadvantages, is a tool called Miro. There's a similar tool called Mural that I know a lot of folks are using as well. Miro is a giant virtual whiteboard, Post-its, templates, all sorts of frameworks and things live inside of it. And I love it because the whiteboard is huge. I have the equivalent of, you know, 5 or 6 walls in some single whiteboards. You can zoom in and change the nature of the conversation, get people brainstorming, timing things, like putting time boxes around things, all sorts of good stuff within Miro. I assume Mural as well. Really a phenomenal tool. What's difficult about it is it doesn't quite replace the in-person experience. That's more true for some than it is for others. I actually do really well in it, but I know that some folks that I work with have said, like, man, I wish we were able to do this in person, which I get it. It makes sense. But maybe that's just still learning curve stuff going on. But Miro is a great tool. Really find it helpful. Yeah. Miro and Mural, very good tools for replacing the real world whiteboard.
Awesome. I knew there were some tools like that out there. I didn't know the name. So thank you for sharing that. I'm sure our audience would appreciate it. So Rich, this is the big question. Our audience wants to know more about you. Can you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in tech or entrepreneurship?
Sure. I read the thing about like you're looking to grow your career in technology or entrepreneurship. And I think the thing that if a lot of folks are honest with themselves, the thing that they're struggling with is some sort of a fear of what like stepping into that space that they're thinking about stepping into would bring or would do. The nature of fear is that it causes you to shut down and slow down. This is one of the places, and one of, I think, the really wonderful things about Agile is it gives you some tools and it gives you some capabilities to start to address those things in a way that feels not only safer, but like more possible. So you learn how to break work down smaller. You learn how to place smaller bets when you're taking a risk on something, which a lot of business is about taking a risk on something. When you do that, it gives you the things that you need in order to face those small fears, which probably you're not even going to talk about because it's not cool to talk about that stuff. But it gives you the tools that you need to face those things and then to go through them. So something I think that would be helpful for folks to know is that if you can have the courage to face the fears regarding your career, like what could you go do? If you could have the courage to face your fears in entrepreneurship, what you'll find on the other side, not that I'm past all my fears, like I certainly have fears that I still fight through. I don't think that ever goes away. But what you'll find on the other side is a world that's way more full of possibility and way more full of encouragement, and used the word fruitfulness earlier on in this conversation, way more we're full of fruitfulness on the other side. If you can step into that and be willing to face the challenges that are presented before you, it's not just about doing the work. It's not about who you are all the time. It's about overcoming those fears in who you are. And so, yeah, I think that if folks can learn to recognize those things, step into them and come out the other side, lots of potential. And I think one of the biggest barriers that we see in corporate America today, because there are rules you're not allowed to break. There are challenges you're not allowed to take on. There are things that you're not allowed to say. There are all sorts of constraints placed on you. Most of them produce a fear of some kind. And when you learn how to get past those things, the world will be different. And sometimes making a world that's different is scary enough for others, but it's the right thing and the thing that you need to go do in order to improve the organization that you're working in, improve the company that you're doing work for. So I think that answers your question. I think that that question is, for me, largely thinking about what is it that people can do and what is it that people can sort of, well, really just what can they do in response or in an effort to grow their career, to grow their entrepreneurship. I think the biggest thing for me is that it comes down to that.
Rich, I appreciate you sharing that. And I think that's very insightful. I know it's going to help somebody that's listening to this podcast. And Rich, I just want to thank you again. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Thanks, Brian. It was great to be here. I appreciated all the conversation, really enjoyed it, and look forward to talking to you again.
Bye for now.